Iraq has been a divisive issue in this country.
We're dealing with other things today.
Far too many young couples find it hard to own their own homes. On the things that matter to people.
Is irresponsible and it's wrong and they should...
We have to make sure that we focus jobs and living standards and the National Health Service and schools. People worry about disrespect on the street.
I've always believed...
The British people...
turned it into a glorified protest movement with cult trimmings.
Was to upset the cult.
This cult of the far left had virtually taken over the party at all levels.
I mean, after all, I mean, why be nervous in the face of Jeremy Corbyn, who was plainly a loser? But
he's just useless, completely useless, and he is completely useless.
Because I'm afraid I don't think the result was entirely undeserved by the Labour Party. If you go in to an election with a leader who is sort of minus 40% in his own ratings, a programme which was, let's face it, so extreme. I mean, not in many of the ideas and individual policies it put forward, but collectively, the sheer impracticality and unaffordability and poorly costed nature of a programme like that is bound to be rejected by very many voters.
Any fool can promise everything for free, but the people weren't fooled.
The main reason for the Brexit vote was a sense of alienation by millions of people, parallel to the alienation of millions of people in the United States, which led to the election of Trump, parallel to the alienation which gave support for Marine Le Pen in France and so on. And these were millions
alienation
of
from
the globalised world which had developed. They were people who saw themselves, often with good justifications, as losers from that process of globalisation, one aspect of which was immigration.
I think what Tony Blair always tried to do was to understand that most people are not living in the political bubble that we live in. And I think he always had an understanding of that. And I think there's a real danger at the moment that we're losing that.
No, what New Labour was about reaching out to aspirational people. I mean, and this was also part of the error of the what amounted to our pitch between 2010 and this election, being too metropolitan. We have a great bedrock in the metropolitan areas, but we don't in what's been described as post-industrial Britain, many parts of East Lancashire, the West Midlands, coastal areas, and we're not connecting with people previously regarded as working class who themselves are very aspirational.
The question of a perceived metropolitan elite running the country, and I say perceived, I'm not implying that's not the case. There's a large amount of truth in that perception.
Labour has got to speak to the people. There's another story today when it says about what YouGov is saying, what these pollsters are saying, what these various groups. I get fed up with them. They're a select group of people. They've got every election wrong in the last 12 months, now telling us what we've got to do. Can they come north and talk to ordinary people instead of getting into focus groups? I used to be in shadow cabinets where they used to keep coming up with focus groups all the time. I'll tell you what focus groups do. They use them as an excuse to put their own view into leaders. And
okay.
The leaders sit down and listen to them. They're new priests of politics, but they've got it wrong. Can we just talk to ordinary people of what they think?
Okay.
That's what Britex was about, wasn't it?
Okay.
Ordinary people say, we don't agree with you.
And a left-wing populist punch in the form of a Labour government with an unreconstructed far-left programme, we're going to do our country some damage.
We want three general elections.
Now, what the reason?
Giving us three successive major victories, and yet here was the Labour Party trying to distance itself from the achievements of its own government. And then we sort of accelerated headlong into the sort of fantasy land of Jeremy Corbyn.
The Labour Party is presently, today, marooned on Fantasy Island.
I care about the Labour Party very much indeed, and grieve for this completely unnecessary disaster that afflicted us, self-inflicted, last Thursday night.
I've come on here tonight to be as nice to you as I possibly can.
So have I. The feeling
right.
Is mutual.
OK. And I'll tell you why. Because I care about the Labour Party. I really care about the Labour Party. And I worry that you and yours are destroying it. And what's more, I actually worry you don't even
you took
care...
It.
the far left that has taken over the Labour Party, if they remain in a position of authority, if they're in charge of the Labour Party going forward, the Labour Party, I think, is finished. It's not a question so much of expelling people, it's a question of taking the Labour Party back for what I would call sensible mainstream Labour politics. But the problem with the far left, the people, you know, you mentioned some of them just around, you know, Jeremy Corbyn and so on, the trouble is they want to take the Labour Party over. They've been engaged in a four-year process of taking it over. Because they're not going to share power.
Good.
Well, I don't live in London. I live in Yorkshire. I live in a working-class community. And I've known John for many years. John's been around, you know, from the Bennite days. And I'm afraid the working classes have always been a big disappointment for John and his cult. Corbyn was a disaster on the doorstep. Everyone knew that he couldn't lead the working class out of a paper bag. Now John's developed this momentum group, this party within a party, aiming to keep the purity. The culture of betrayal goes on. You'll hear it now more and more over the next couple of days as these this little cult get their act together. I want them out of the party. I want momentum gone. Go back to your student politics and your little, you know, left-wing...
But that isn't realistically going to happen, is it?
I'm saying what I want after, if that exit poll's wrong, the most disastrous result for the Labour Party. The worst result since 1935. People like John and his pals will never admit this, but they have messed up completely. And it's our communities that are going to pay for that. I feel really angry about this, that we persevered with Corbyn.
Let me be very clear about that. Jeremy Corbyn will not stand for Labour at the next general election as a Labour Party candidate.
Today, after four defeats, just as in 1997, we have new leadership and a renewed sense of purpose and mission.
The summer of tone, ladies and gentlemen, is here. This is the official prelude to it. That was the trailer. I thought I'd replay it again in full. How can I say this? That last clip, by the way, is from an official kind of Starmer broadcast where Blair basically says, "We're back." they've achieved the retakeover of the Labour Party. My favourite moment of that montage, by the way, and I took a long time to put that together, is when Blair says with a grave, grave voice, "They're not going to share power." Because you know that's the thing that really, really fucking cares about. So what we're going to do tonight is, as a kind of primer for the Summer of Tone, where we're going to be watching over the 1997 general election, we're going to be getting to know New Labour in their first iteration between 1997 and 2007, which is when Blair left and Brown took over the party from that point on. We're going to get to know some of the principal characters. And then I'm going to go through this amazing thread on Twitter where we're going to kind of reassess some of the stuff that New Labour tried to do. Because in my years of studying Blair, Dark Lord, as we call him, I have actually revised my opinion on Blair a good bit, right? The standard analysis from people like me, which I inherited from Peter Hitchens and a lot of people in the Tory party and so on, is that stuff Blair did destroyed the country. And there is some truth to that, obviously, because one of the big things he did was open the doors to immigration, as we all know. They reformed the House of Lords. They installed the Supreme Court and a number of it. I mean, I don't need to go over some of the bad stuff they did, but I have actually developed a bit of a theory on Blair, what makes him tick and where he is now, and also while he was in power. And it's kind of read it between the lines a bit, but I at this point I've watched many hours of Blair interviews on this channel and also privately, and it seems to me that when he says that when he came to power in 1997, he was young and naive, didn't really know what was going on. I think he's not actually lying when he says that. And if you look at some of the stuff I'm about to share in this stream, some of the stuff they did while they were actually in power, especially in what I will describe as the second Blair ministry, that is from 2000, he reshuffled the cabinet in 2001. So from 2001 until pretty much until he left, if you look at his actual actions, they are the actions of a government that kind of knew they messed up in the first instance. A lot of the quotes that people like Douglas Murray will throw around, things like, oh, we're going to rub their faces in diversity. Okay. What I'm going to share in this stream is that I now believe that New Labour, especially the second ministry and the third ministry of Blair, were one of the most right-wing governments this country's ever seen, in terms of their actual actions. And we'll get onto that in a moment. Especially the period where David Blunkett was the Home Secretary. I mean, honestly, David Blunkett, we'll go through some of the things that he did while he was the Home Secretary. Some of the stuff that New Labour did would bring the current Tory party out in hives. And the Tories actually undid a lot of the things that Blair's New Labour did in the name of liberalism, in the name of like bloody, you know, small state libertarian ideology and so on, and political correctness. They undid, especially on crime. I mean, when Blair and co said, oh, we're going to be tough on crime, tough on the causes of crime, we're going to have a look at some of the stuff they did, which is pretty hardcore. But before we get to all of that, before we get to all of the things that New Labour did while they were in power, some of which were good, some of which were bad from our point of view, let us get to know some of the principal characters who we saw in that clip. Let us get to know some of, obviously we all know Blair, but who were some of his kind of minions, okay? And what was their general role in the New Labour setup? Because another aspect of why it's important to study Blair is the fact that these guys were and remain an organized minority. Not only an organized minority as the Labour Party, but an organized minority within the Labour Party. And one of the things that Blair was famous for was actually cutting out the rest of the party from decision-making, making the pool of people involved in direct decisions smaller and smaller. Now, the standard critique of that is, oh, that's not very democratic, is it? But there's another way of looking, like for the readers of populist delusion, there's another way of thinking about it. It's like, well, maybe Blair didn't want the rest of the Labour Party having a say. Maybe he didn't want to have to answer to the trade unions. Maybe he didn't want to answer to the membership. And basically, a way of looking at what's happened to Labour since 2007 is that, as I'll talk about soon, the Brownites and Gordon Brown were always to the left of Tone and his crew. Always. Blair was to the right of the Labour Party. Brown was to the left of it. Also, the Brownites were, how can I put it? Blair and Blair's crew, I would say, are defined first and foremost by their pragmatism. That is, not being wedded to any particular way of doing something. Basically, if it works, it fucking works. Let's just do it. Brown and his friends were always the theory cells within New Labour, if that makes any sense. They were the ones who had a kind of quote-unquote ideology. Whereas Blair, was much more like, right, what's the problem? What's the solution going to be? And what is the quickest possible route to get there? And usually, there'll be some sort of rule, law, or regulation in the way. And Blair's thinking is always like, and this is something that's really important to think about in terms of politics, right? Because regardless of even if you love him or hate him, okay, he was able to, he thinks about politics in a different way from somebody like Gordon Brown, but also, more importantly, from the Tory party that we've seen since 2010, right? There's a massive, everybody says, oh, well, Blair's legacy was David Cameron and the Tories, and the kind of Cameronite Tories, and all of the Tories that are currently there are all kind of basically Blairish, okay? But I now believe that the Tories basically looked at what Blair was doing and took all the wrong things from him. They took the kind of, how can I put it, the kind of shitty York Notes version of Blair and tried to turn it into an ideology. Like, they tried to, like, turn it into a set of ideas or something, okay? Whereas Blair would play lip service to an idea, but actually wouldn't actually care about a lot of the kind of civil rights and things like that. As we'll see when I go through what New Labour did, if trampling on civil rights to get to a goal is what it took, Blair would just say, oh, well, how can we change that law? How can we... somebody would say, oh, well, you can't do that, Blair, it's against human rights. And he'd be like, right, well, what court says that then? How can we change that? Who are the people we need to speak to change that? Whereas, as we've seen, the Tories basically say, oh, we tried to do it and we were told we're not allowed. Sorry. That's the basic Tory response. They've got an excuse for everything. Whereas Blair's basic position is, well, that was a law then. The circumstances have changed now, and the laws reflect what we need to do now. It's a very different way of thinking. Whereas the Tories are like, oh, this is it. This is on the books, therefore it's set in stone. And they never think about, you know, what needs to happen now in order to change it. So that's something that we're going to look at as we go through the litany of stuff that New Labour did. Anyway, let's get to know the New Labour crew before we do this, okay? First of all, there are a group of people who I have called the schemers. Now, everybody knows Alistair Campbell and the Lord Mandelson, Peter Mandelson, there they are in the middle. They were the kind of Svengalis behind the scenes, the spin doctors. Mandelson was the director of communications. Campbell, I mean, he's called, I can't remember what his official role was. But basically, they did a lot of behind-closed-doors meetings. A lot of the executive decision-making happened between those two and Tone alone. Other people were brought in on a need-to-know basis, which is, in my opinion, a better way of running the government than having the entire cabinet sitting around and trying to make a decision between themselves. This is how Blair got a lot of things done, through shortcutting the normal channels of doing things by making the unit smaller and working through executive action a lot more. He was very Schmittian and very decisionist in the way he worked his government. So the absolute core unit is Mandelson, Campbell and Blair. They were the three main guys who sorted a lot of stuff out. If you read Blair's book, which I haven't reread, I'm going to reread it as part of the Summer of Tone. He basically talks about that. If you read Mandelson's book, which is called The Third Man, he talks about that as well. So, and it's very obvious that those are the three main guys. One of the elements that is forgotten about a little bit is that throughout the existence of New Labour, there was a tension between number 10 and number 11, between Blair and Brown. Brown wanted to be the Prime Minister, and they famously made a deal where Blair said, well, I'll be the Prime Minister for a while, and then I'll stand aside, and then you can be the Prime Minister for a while. That did end up happening in 2007 after Blair won three elections. Then Brown who moved New Labour to the left, surprise, surprise, then lost in 2010 to Cameron and the Tory Lib Dem coalition. And the Blairites basically still blame Gordon Brown for that. They still say that Blair would have won. He would have beaten Cameron. They still say that all of the things Brown did were a mistake. They still say, and they're right, they're always right about these sorts of things. They still say that Ed Miliband, when he decided to open up the Labour Party for new members, remember he dropped the membership down to £1, and then he allowed people to vote on who wanted to be Labour leader and so on. That's how they ended up with Corbyn. So they blame Ed Miliband for basically being a shithead as well. All of these guys do, and they're on record for saying it. But apart from Campbell and Mandelson, there's also Jack Straw, who for a lot of Blair's time in power was the foreign secretary. He was the guy who basically took us into Iraq. He took us into Afghanistan. And like Blair, he has never apologized for that. He has never said it was a mistake. He has never apologized. And I actually respect the fact that these guys don't... You can say, well, Iraq was wrong or whatever, but at least they own it. At least they say, okay, we made the call and we do the same thing again. So Straw, like Blair, in many interviews since they were in power, has always like quadrupled down on Iraq. He was kind of, if you can draw circles around Blair, say there's the absolute inner circle, which is Campbell, Mandelson and Blair. On the next circle out, Jack Straw was there, and this chap on the left here, Lord Falconer, was always kept around. He was always kept around in various different roles. Minister without, now he was never, I don't think Falconer was elected ever, but he was kind of instrumental to it as well. And one of the brains in the Blairite New Labour side of things. So these four guys, I would say, are the schemers, right? But then in addition, to these four, we've got a set of people who I've called the bruisers. And this is an element of New Labour that I think is forgotten, right? Because Blair was slick and Blair was kind of put this kind of middle class shine on a lot of things that New Labour did. He was very glossy, right? He was good in front of the cameras. He was, you know, appeared in like magazines like GQ when he went on Football Focus, and you know, he had a way, Blair, of talking to the country that kind of middle class people could respond to. But these dudes, especially Prescott, Johnson and Blunkett, had a bit of that kind of working class grit about them, as you saw in the montage there. And Charles Clarke and John Reed is Scottish. Clarke, as you saw in the montage there, is he's more well spoken, but he understands, and his sympathies were always with the kind of working class elements of the country. And he kind of understood, all of these guys understood, that in order to keep the country on side, you had to appeal not only to the middle class types, the metropolitan types, you had to find a way of speaking to the kind of post-industrial areas of the country as well. So that they were kind of part of that in image terms. But behind the scenes, basically all of these guys were known and frequently described in the press as bruisers. What does that mean? What is a bruiser in political terms? Well, it basically means that in order to get anything done in Westminster, you have to knock heads together, right? MPs are fucking lazy and they don't do stuff, right? They the civil service is full of wastrels, as we all know, right? They are mutinous. They scheme against you. They don't do the stuff they're meant to do. And all of these guys, Blunkett, Reed, Clark, Johnson, and Prescott, when they take over, let's say, Ministry of Transport or, you can have a look, like what I think Blunkett was given. He was the Home Secretary for a period. He was given pensions for a while. And basically, these guys were put in there by Blair to do really difficult jobs, right? So let's say, I don't know, something really fucking unpopular, like they needed to introduce tuition fees, okay? Which is a very non-labory sort of thing to do. And I remember at the time, people forget this, but I remember it because I was in university at the time and they wanted to put the tuition fees up. New Labour did. Michael Howard, when he was the Tory leader, ran on scrapping tuition fees altogether. That is, reducing them to zero and making universities state funded again. And I remember at that time, I wrote an article in the kind of student paper saying that basically it wouldn't be a bad idea to vote for Michael Howard, right, at that time. If what you want to do is to get rid of tuition fees. What guy as the kind of MP in charge of that, the cabinet minister in charge of that, and they basically face down all of the bullshit and they'd be like, we're doing this. Tony said we're doing it. We're fucking doing it. Don't argue. You're going to be fired. You know, we're going to knock heads together. And see, this is an element of New Labour that is very much forgotten about now. These guys didn't fuck about. Guardian was always complaining about the culture of bullying in New Labour and things like that. But basically, the way this country works is, if you're going to get anything done, you need to basically force the entire ministry to work to your tune. And see, this is the thing why I'm saying that if anything is going to change in this country, it has to be guys like this who do it. Because the Tories just they're not able to do it for whatever reason. You know, Dominic Raab resigned and, you know, Priti Patel had that whole bullying thing. Like, they just don't get it done. What they do is they're in government and they act like they're one of us. Whereas these guys, for whatever, maybe it was their years of working with trade union bollocks or whatever, they just had an ability to face down the people who were under them and to be like, no, we're doing, I mean, if you ever watch The Thick of It is, you know, it's got lots of shouting and so on, but the Thick of It is basically about the way Blair's government worked. Now, Campbell has said that, you know, it's a cartoon and it's overblown and so on. But whichever way you look at it, these guys forced through stuff that was unpopular and they faced down all of the minions underneath them. They were tough. They were really tough. I remember them at the time. But also, if you go back and watch them in interviews, you know, versus Paxman, they were all that they were disciplined, they stayed on message, and they were able to just bash heads. Everybody needs that. I mean, Thatcher had people like this in her cabinet as well. Most famously, Norman Tebbit was a bruiser. Who are the bruisers now? Right, if Rishi Sunak wants to get something done, who does he call on that's anything like a Blunkett or a Charles Clark or a John Reid? So, you know, there is this, and you see, this is another thing that has happened in a way, is that the Tories looked at New Labour and they thought, well, Blair is slick and Blair is cool and Blair is popular, right? let's all become Tony Blair. Not recognizing the fact that Blair was just like the front guy of these, like he was the front man in the band. But behind him, you know, you've got to have the guy on the drums and the guy on the bass and the like, you've got to have those guys to keep time. And for whatever reason, the Tories just basically transformed themselves to be all clones of Blair. They didn't reproduce the Blunkets and the Charles Clarks and the Alan Johnsons and Prescotts and so on, who were instrumental, in my opinion, to the success that New Labour had. And when I say success, I mean that in a value-neutral way, in terms of just getting stuff done in Westminster. The Tories have not got stuff done. They haven't. You can look at their manifesto pledges and then look at the results. I mean, immigration's the easiest one because they've pledged to reduce it every year and they haven't fucking done it. I mean, as we'll see, Blair and Brown recognised that immigration was a problem. Blair is on record for saying he didn't realise how many people would come. And back then it was a lot of Poles, if you recall. If you have a look at the numbers who come in, a lot of the immigration under Blair was people coming from the EU. Poles most famously, but also other people from Eastern Europe and elsewhere, those countries that were just admitted to the EU. And Blair has admitted that he didn't realise so many people would come, but they quickly realised that, and they said, right, we're gonna try to do something about this. And if you have a look at the numbers under Blair, it's not like they do shoot up initially. But then they managed to keep it pretty flat for most of the time. And from about 2003 to about 2010, the numbers stay relatively flat. And then when the Tories come in, they go down a little bit, and then they shoot up massively. So under Blair, I think net immigration was about 300,000, which is still too many, don't get me wrong. But under the Tories, we're now looking at a million net every year under Sunak and under Johnson. Sunak has now pledged to get it down to 500,000, which is still, I mean, mental. And all of the stuff under the Tories about these small boats and the asylum seekers and so on. When I show you some of the stuff that New Labour did on asylum in particular, we'll see the difference between the current Tory party and this lot. Also, we have these guys who I've generally called minions. You need to have minions, right? You need to have loyalists. And all of these were basically Blair's minions. They did as they were told. They never broke ranks. They still, I mean, Lord Adonis is still a massive Blair acolyte. All of these people had various roles. Miliband was very young at that time, but he was a Blair minion. And basically, when the Labour Party elected Ed Miliband as opposed to David Miliband, that was pretty much the beginning of the end. The disaster that we saw in that, what happened to Labour under Corbyn and so on, was a direct result of them going with the Brownites initially. After the 2010 defeat, they could have course corrected quickly and gone with another Blairite. You know, who knows if David Miliband would have defeated Cameron in 2015, for example, when Ed Miliband lost. So who knows? But anyway, all of these people were basically sidelined during that whole period. You see, everybody thinks about the Corbyn takeover. People forget about the period between 2007 and 2015, where a lot of the Blairites were stuck out of the party, right? Now, naturally, they all landed in cushy jobs. Like David Miliband went off and worked for some NGO. But basically, in the period where Blair was setting up his NGO network, he had all these operatives out there, still active and working and so on. but they were locked out of the Tory, of the Labour Party apparatus for a long period. So anyway, these are the Blair minions. And then we also have to get to know the Brownites. Boo! Everybody, boo! Everybody boo. Boo's in the chat for the Brownites. In my opinion, the Achilles heel of New Labour, constantly dragging Blair back to the left, constantly doing like cringe stuff, constantly talking about principles and bullshit like that, and, you know, economic rubbish, left-wing economics and things like that, are these dudes here. Brown, Balls, Darling, Ed Miliband and Harriet Harman. These are basically, in my opinion, the architects of the downfall of New Labour. And from 2007 to 2010, when these guys were the cabinet, I mean, they were on fumes. They were just terrible. Again, everybody thinks, oh, well, Blair, you know, the party was going down. Blair left at, you know, an opportune moment. I don't agree. I think that Blair, if he'd stayed in power with his core crew, would have defeated David Cameron and won again in 2010. I do not believe that he would have lost as badly as Gordon Brown. You've got to remember the changeover of personnel. This crew here is clearly second rate compared to Blair's crew. I think everybody would agree with that. But also, they were theory cells. They were stupid theory cells, which meant that they ended up, they lost that dynamic pragmatism that the Blairites had. The Blairites were not, as we'll see when we go through, were not committed to any particular ideological kind of, you know, they were free market on some things. They were true, like, centrists in that way. Pragmatic centrists, whereas the Brownites were more kind of committed to various doctrines and more academic in a way. And I mean that in a bad way, not in a good way. They were academic. Anyway, let us move. Oh, there's one more person before I get to some of the stuff New Labour did that I need to introduce you to. And that is this disgusting man of principle here, Robin Cook. There's only one disgusting man of principle in New Labour, and it's this man here. Boo! Now, in the popular imagination, and also in Tony, the musical rock opera thing that I watched, and on the left in general, Cook tends to be valorized as some sort of hero. Because he resigned, famously, he resigned out of principle against the Iraq War. And he was kind of like a weird, like, he wasn't a Blairite, he wasn't a Brownite. He had his own ideas as well. He broke ranks, he was ill-disciplined, in my opinion, ill-disciplined, and went with his principles instead of, you know, going with the organized minority of Blair. And for that reason, you may like Robin Cook, but for me, evaluating it in a value-free political sense, Robin Cook did damage to New Labour as a project with his principal resignation. Boo. Okay. And there were some others. Yeah, Claire Short as well. And who was that? Was it Mo Molum? There are a few of these characters around, but, you know, we know Robin Cook is the main one. Okay, so anyway, yeah, Robin Cook was the sigma of the crew, I suppose. But he correctly resigned and was correctly kind of, what happened to Robin? Did he like suddenly die? I think Robin Cook suddenly died of a heart attack or something. In 2005. What was the cause of his death? I remember he died suddenly. He took a 2-week holiday in the Scottish Highlands, walked down Bensack, suddenly suffered a severe heart attack and collapsed. So, yeah, he had a heart attack in the middle of the Blair government as well. So, okay. Now, with all of that said, let us have a look at some of the things that New Labour did. And then we'll see what people make of it. Now, I'm not trying to, like, convert anyone to love. I understand a lot of people don't like Blair. But you the basis of comparison in looking at this thread is not what New Labour did versus the unicorn land of the world you want to see, right? The basis of comparison, in my view, is what Blair's New Labour did versus what the Tory government have done since 2010. I think that's a much more realistic and fair comparison. So let's have a little look. So this is a thread by a leftist called John Stone. He said, I'm just going to read out all of the different things he mentions in this. There's a number of these threads by leftists on Twitter because leftists hate, and I mean hate, Tony Blair. They really hate him. They see him as the anti-Corbyn. They see him as a right-wing fascist and all the rest of it. And when we go through this, you'll start to understand why. So this is John Stone. He says, there's been a reassessment of the Blair-Brown government on the left in recent years. You hear more about its achievement than you used to. That's good. But it's also important not to forget that it regularly did things a Tory government would be criticised for. Jack Straw, as Home Secretary, stripped refugees of benefits and made them use vouchers to buy food. And now what's good about this is he links to all different articles. So you can see that Jack Straw made asylum seekers or made asylum people use vouchers rather than money. Harriet Harman pushed through benefit cuts for single mothers in 1997, shortly after winning the landslide, arguing they would help them back to work. Look, there was a benefit, there was a revolt on the Labour backbenches over that, but they still pushed it through. They cut benefits for single mothers. Carolyn Flint, while housing minister, unveiled a plan to strip unemployed council tenants of their homes. It's pretty good. Tony Blair boasted that he would leave Britain with the most restrictive anti-trade union laws in the Western world. David Blunkett introduced a bill to ban asylum seekers' children from attending state schools. Oh no! Oh no! Charles Clarke, as Home Secretary, unveiled a policy to name and shame people given ASBOs, including children as young as 10, through leafleting campaigns and passing on their details to the media. There's a little look at this story. ASBO louts face name and shame. People under antisocial behaviour orders, ASBOs, will soon face naming and shaming as a matter of course, Charles Clarke announced. Let's carry on. Jackie Smith, as Home Secretary, banned unskilled immigrants from outside the EU with a points-based Australian-style immigration system. Interesting. John Reid, as Health Secretary, complained that there was a culture of resistance in the NHS to privatising services after he was criticised by the British Medical Association for a botched contract. We'll just have a look at that. There you go. And this is one of the things that Blair has talked about a lot, by the way. Blair really does want to privatise the NHS, unlike the Tories. The Tories are accused of wanting to do that. Blair actually wants to do that. Hazel Blears, as Home Secretary Minister, said Muslims would have to accept the reality that people of Islamic appearance would be racially profiled by police for stop and search. Can you imagine Rishi Sunak or Boris Johnson or any of these fucking clowns saying what Hazel Blears said there? Muslims would have to accept the reality that people of Islamic appearance would be racially profiled by police for stop and search. Alan Milburn, as Health Secretary, said the NHS should set up a for-profit NHS Plus paid-for health insurance top-up system. John Reid, as Home Secretary, whipped up anger against foreigners who come to this country illegitimately and steal our benefits. Direct quote. There's John Reid targeting illegal immigrants. A clampdown has been launched targeting foreigners who come to this country illegitimately and steal our benefits, said Home Secretary John Reid. Let's carry on. Liam Brine, as Immigration Minister, made employers check job applicants' passports to make it harder for undocumented migrants to work. Oh no! Imagine making employers check documents to see if the people are here legally or not. What a monster! Tony Blair wanted to sell off more social housing by extending the right to buy to housing associations, with the explicit political aim of reducing the difference between Labour and Tory policies. What a monster, Tone. Letting people buy their own houses, whatever next. Charles Clark, as Education Secretary, said the state should not fund subjects like history and that universities exist to enable the British economy. Okay, maybe he went a bit far there. I think history should be taught at university, personally. But Jack Straw, as a member of the cabinet, told Muslim women to stop wearing veils. Jack Straw fans the flames by insisting he wants women to stop wearing veils altogether. I mean, when was the last time you heard a Tory say anything even close to that? Anything even close to that? Tony Blair sacked Jack Straw as Foreign Secretary for saying he wouldn't nuke Iran after George Bush complained. Fucking hell. Okay, maybe I don't want Iran nuked, but, you know, still, conviction politics, eh, Tone? Tony Blair welcomed 11 private healthcare firms into the NHS family and promised them to a stronger foothold in the health service. What a monster. Allowing people access to private healthcare. David Blunkett brought in a bill to cut benefits for asylum seekers and then take their children away into care once they become destitute. Again, look. Rebels in the, like, all of these left-wing twats in the Labour Party were he did this against his own party a lot of the time. Tony Blair blamed a spate of murders on black culture that lacked discipline and said people blaming poverty were being politically correct. Where's the lie? Where is the lie that Blair... Is it not true that black culture lacks discipline? Tony Blair backed a ban on hooded sweatshirts and baseball caps in shopping centres as part of a wider moral panic about young people. Now, this is actually an issue on which you can see the clear difference between Blair and Cameron. Because I remember Cameron ran in 2010 on hugger hoodie. Blair was like, just fucking ban hoodies. Stop wearing your hood up in shops. Based common sense, practical. David Cameron, no, we need a big society. Hug a hoodie. Twat. Liberal. So you under, I think, I hope you can understand why I have come to my view after going through so many of these policies. Ruth Kelly, as Home Secretary, told councils to stop translating things into other languages to make life more difficult for immigrants who didn't speak English as an incentive. What a monster. What a monster Ruth Kelly is for wanting people who've come here to speak English. What a racist. Tony Blair set a target to cut the number of people applying for refugee status in Britain by 50%. What a terrible person Tony Blair is for wishing to slash the refugee asylum seekers by 50%. David Blunkett, as Home Secretary, told British Asians they should speak English in their own homes. Of course they fucking should. Of course they should. David Blunkett is a man of common sense. If you have people coming here, they have to, what happened to when in Rome? Of course they should speak English in their own homes. New Labour introduced new police powers to stop and search people without suspicion, which were used on a vast scale against innocent Muslims and were later declared unlawful by the European Court of Human Rights. The police use anti-terror laws to screen more than 120,000 individuals, trebling stop and search numbers. Oh, what a monster. That's not very liberal. David Blunkett, as Home Secretary, banned asylum seekers from working while their claims were being assessed. Hello? Of course. If their claims haven't been assessed, they're not here, they're not legally refugees. Of course they shouldn't be able to fucking work, John Stone, twat. John Stone says, David Blunkett, as Home Secretary, unveiled plans to force failed asylum seekers to do unwaged work in exchange for basic subsistence if their claims were rejected. I mean, hello? What's wrong with that? What, you just want to have food for free? Of course you're going to have to fucking work for it. Thomas Carlyle would back that. I back that. Anybody with an ounce of common sense backs that. Not John Stone, though. David Blunkett, as Home Secretary, wanted to send all asylum seekers to offshore processing centres outside of Europe. What's the problem? What's the problem? I mean, that's basically Blair's Rwanda plan as well, by the way. But I don't see the basic problem. If you're an asylum seeker, you're not legally here as a refugee. So while you're being processed, you should probably not be here. Good. Basically good. I'll carry on. I'm just saying, remember, the point of comparison isn't the cloud cuckoo land where Enoch Powell won in 1968. And, you know, we live in the kind of based right-wing unicorn version of Britain. The basis of comparison is the Britain we actually live in and this government versus the Tory government that has been in power since 2010. Tony Blair, introduced powers for indiscriminate 9 p.m. curfews on under-16s as part of a wider campaign against young people. The policy was later found to be unlawful as it breached human rights. What is wrong with enforcing 9 p.m. curfews? Oh, human rights. Think of how much bullshit would be averted if under-16s weren't allowed out after 9 p.m. Sensible. James Pennell, while welfare secretary, forced single mothers of children as young as 1 year and people registered unfit for work to work on threat of losing benefits. Well, what's the problem? Liam Byrne retrospectively challenged immigration rules to deport skilled migrants who did not meet new conditions that didn't apply when they moved to the UK. Well, boo-hoo. But, I mean, so what? I just don't... Obviously, that's good. John Hutton says, as welfare secretary introduced further cuts to benefits for single parents to encourage them back to work. Again, I don't see the problem. Get back to work. David Blunkett says he has no sympathy with asylum seekers from Kosovo and Afghanistan arriving in Britain and said they should go home. Based. Telling you now, David Blunkett was based. He was based. I don't care what anyone says. David Blunkett was based. I'll carry on. Tony Blair said, Britain could review obligations we have under the Convention on Human Rights if it helped stop the illegal immigrants from coming to the UK. Now, this is something I actually looked into. Because Blair's talked about this a number of times in interviews and things. Blair wanted to pull out of that Convention on Human Rights, and he was stopped several times. It's still the thing now. It's still a problem now. The Tories are facing it. But he made serious efforts to do it during his time in power. And who knows, if he'd been able to stay there, maybe they could have got it done. That Convention on Human Rights is a massive problem because it is an extra national thing stopping us sorting out the immigration issue. But you see where Blair's kind of mind and his heart went. It wasn't, oh, you know, human rights is so great. It was like, yeah, we probably should fucking get rid of this because it's stopping us doing what we need to do. Blair gave a speech in which he said asylum seekers were playing the system. Of course they're playing the system. Of course they are. Blunkett suggested asylum seekers should be electronically tagged and tracked by satellite like criminals. That probably should have happened. The people who campaigned against those things happening and the people who argued against that happening were wrong. And David Blunkett was right. Phil Wullis, as immigration minister, said it was too easy to get into this country for immigrants and that he would take action to stop the UK population rising to 70 million. That's good. They wanted fewer people, not more people. Unlike the claim that is so often made that they just want the population to keep on going up and up. He didn't want the population to go up. Tony Blair explicitly pushed for more private sector involvement in public services. Phil Wullis, as immigration minister, said his children had suffered because of high levels of immigration. Migration has hurt my family, admits Phil Wullis. That's the truth. Everybody knows him. Gordon Brown said before the crash that he would cut red tape and demand a more deregulatory stance from the EU on financial services. Okay. Phil Wallis, immigration minister, was removed from Parliament by the High Court, which found a racist Labour leaflet that sought to make white folk angry at Muslims, including deliberate lies about his opponent. He was allowed to remain a Labour member. Where's Phil Wallis now? I'd love to know what he's up to. Dozens of Labour MPs launched a mutiny against Deputy Leader Harriet Harman, called for her to resign, and said she was a disgrace after she publicly disowned Phil Wallis for being a convicted liar. Tony Blair said single mothers were the cause of many social problems. Where's the lie? Where's the lie? That's true. Why is it controversial? Margaret Hodge, as government minister, said Indigenous Britain should be given priority over immigrants for housing. Oh no! Of course, I mean, how is it possibly controversial for a government minister to say that? Give natives priority for social housing, says Margaret Hodge. Jack Straw, as Home Secretary, tried to remove the option of trial by jury for some defendants of crimes like theft and assault. Phil Wallis, as Immigration Minister, attacked charities and lawyers that help refugees stay in the UK and accused them of being an industry with a vested interest. New Labour's laws, giving it powers to imprison foreigners without charge or trial, were ruled unlawful and a real threat to the life of the nation by the courts. Labour ministers said they would consider only minor tinkering with Thatcher's anti-trade union laws. Tony Blair said Muslim women who wore the veil make people feel uncomfortable, that their clothes are a mark of separation, and that he wasn't sure whether they could make a full contribution to British society. Alistair Darling, as Welfare Secretary, cut disability benefits soon after Labour took power, arguing it was right in principle and the right thing to do. James Pennell, as Welfare Secretary, made deep cuts to housing benefit payments by introducing a local housing allowance, arguing old higher level of support was a disincentive to work. Tony Blair rejected calls for higher taxes on the wealthy, arguing that lower top rates of tax were just the way the world is going. David Blunkett, as Home Secretary, introduced compulsory citizenship tests on the British way of life and forced people to swear an oath. What a monster. What a monster, eh? Tony Blair introduced fit for work tests for disabled people who he said had to justify why they were taking money from the state. I mean, of course. Tony Blair said immigrants have a duty to integrate. Blair tells immigrants to integrate or stay away. Jackie Smith, as Home Secretary, kept MDMA a Class A drug, despite her scientific advisers saying it should be downgraded. The chair of the advisory body was later sacked over a research paper whose results the government didn't like. Tony Blair considered carrying out a bulk deportations in RAF transport planes and deploying Royal Navy to intercept people crossing the Mediterranean to deliver radical reduction in asylum seekers. The party had an 82-year-old Holocaust survivor detained under terror legislation for heckling Jack Straw and calling him a liar over Iraq at the Labour conference. Hazel Bleers, as Community Secretary, said immigrants dominating a neighbourhood would make members of other groups feel alienated, insecure or unsafe. Downing Street falsely claimed Iraq could launch weapons of mass destruction in 45 minutes as a pretext to invade the country, which is still in chaos to this day. Okay, that was actually, that bit is actually true. The government made public the name of civil servants and weapons scientist Dr. David Kelly after he discredited the claim, blah, blah, blah. I don't care about Iraq. Who cares about Iraq? Tony Blair, I'm going to skip the Iraq stuff because it's dull. Alistair Darling said ahead of the 2010 election that Labour would cut spending deeper than Margaret Thatcher and impose two parliaments of pain. David Blunkett, while Home Secretary, said fears about civil liberties were airy-fairy and that he would allow that they would allow terrorists to destroy us. Of course, David Blunkett was a sensible man who had common sense, unlike any politician today. Gordon Brown prioritised cutting taxes for corporations in Labour's first budget in 1997, the lowest of any Western industrial country. They established Yarlswood Immigration Detention Centre in 2001, outsourced it to Serco in 2007, and at one point detained around 2,000 children a year. Child detention was ended by the coalition. So the Tories actually stopped this. The Tories stopped what New Labour were doing around child detention. Liam Byrne fought the 2004 Hodge Hill by-election by distributing leaflets to white areas with attack lines like "The Lib Dems want to keep giving welfare benefits to failed asylum seekers." David Blunkett detained people indefinitely without charge under terror legislation, which was found to breach the Human Rights Act. Later, he said he had no regrets. No regrets. Jackie Smith, as Home Secretary, extended restrictions on immigrants claiming benefits and made it harder to get citizenship. John Hutton, as Health Secretary, claimed that health tourism was a problem despite the lack of evidence and said that the NHS was a national health service, not an international health service, which is now a Tory attack line. All of these things were basically just true, though, weren't they? All of these things were just sensible things that any sensible government would do. James Pennell, while Welfare Secretary, drew up plans for further cuts to disability benefits. David Blunkett, as Home Secretary, restricted migrants from new EU countries from accessing the social security system to stop benefit tourism. Good. Fucking good. Jackie Smith, as Home Secretary, forced foreigners to pass an English test if they wanted to marry someone from the UK and live with them. What a monster. John Hutton, as Health Secretary, introduced NHS charges for failed asylum seekers to see a GP and offered doctors cash incentives to shop them. Tony Blair said after the end of the Labour government that he regretted banning fox hunting, a fundamental part of the countryside and way of life. Even based on fox hunting. Tony Blair said after the end of Labour government that creating the Freedom of Information Act had been a folly and not sensible. David Blunkett lied and said emphatically there would be no increase in tuition fees from £1,000 if Labour won in 2001. They were tripled to £3,000. Ruth Kelly, with the backing of Tony Blair as Community Secretary, tried to preserve a law that let religious adoption agencies turn down people for being gay. Jim Murphy, who held various cabinet positions, was a member of the neoconservative Henry Jackson Society. Charles Clark, Education Secretary, who raised tuition fees to £3,000, said fears they'd go much higher were absurd. Alistair Darling, as Transport Secretary in 2005, cancelled the construction of tram systems across the country, including in Leeds, arguing the cost was too high and buses would suffice. Jackie Smith said immigrants should have a master's degree if they wanted to come to the UK, and planned to raise immigration salary threshold from £17,000 to £20,000 to put British workers first. Tony Blair personally intervened to stop a corrupt investigation into arms, a corruption investigation into arms sale to Saudi Arabia after the country threatened repercussions if the probe proceeded. The High Court said the move was unlawful. Tony Blair tried to give the government powers to detain people for 3 months, 90 days, without charging them with any crime. He got as far as 28 days, and the coalition cut the limit to 14 days, where it remains. Again, the Tories made this law gayer. He wanted 90 days. He got 28 days, and the Tories cut it to 14 days. Yvette Cooper, as DWP secretary, forced disabled people on incapacity benefit to take fit-to-work tests run by ATOS, despite well-documented problems with the tests wrongly finding people fit to work. Just get back to work, for God's sake. James Pennell, as DWP secretary, tried to introduce a 27% loan shark interest rate on previously interest-free crisis loans for people in difficult circumstances. This was defeated by Labour rebels. Boo. Yvette Cooper, as Work and Pension Secretary, gave the DWP powers to drug test sanctioned benefits claimants. John Prescott paid councils £2.2 billion to bulldoze 10,000 homes in low-demand areas to try and raise house prices, including compulsory evictions under the Housing Market Renewal Pathfinder programme. Tony Blair said he wanted to stop judges overruling the government on human rights, either by watering down the Human Rights Act or withdrawing from part of the ECHR to ensure the law-abiding majority can live without fear. Gordon Brown was criticised for using the BNP slogan "British jobs for British workers" in a speech. Tony Blair, as part of his rapprochement with the Gaddafi regime in Libya, British spies helped kidnap critics of the dictator so they could be returned to the country and tortured. Tony Blair wrote a personal letter to Gaddafi to say he was very disappointed after British courts blocked the deportation of Libyan political exiles arrested by the UK police on the basis they would likely be tortured. David Blunkett, as Home Secretary, gave police the power to ban protests in Parliament Square in response to persistent anti-war demonstrations against the government. Jackie Smith, as Home Secretary, ignored advice of his scientific advisory board and raised the maximum penalty for cannabis possession to 5 years in prison. What a monster. Jack Straw, as Home Secretary, attacked cowardly banks for withdrawing financing from a controversial animal testing lab at the centre of protests over its treatment of dogs and monkeys. Tony Blair said the Geneva Convention on Asylum, which enshrines the rights of refugees, is completely out of date. Yes, it is completely out of date. I remember Blair's argument on this. He said they basically drew up the Geneva Convention after World War II. Well, we're not living after World War II anymore. I mean, it's after World War II, but those circumstances have changed. So that asylum protocol should be scrapped. Blair is correct. Peter Mandelson took first steps to raise tuition fees again, but to £9,000 by launching a review into whether they should go up. Alistair Campbell moved to endorse a campaign by The Sun against asylum seekers before it had even been officially launched. Number 10 worked with The Sun to manage the news. The Blair government knew in advance The Sun newspaper was to launch an immigration campaign last summer, an immigration crisis campaign last summer. Well, of course, because these guys knew that there were too many fucking asylum seekers coming here. John Reid, as Home Secretary, tried to bring back prison ships. Fucking based. Just based. I mean, I wish they could have done that. That would have been awesome. Get them work on the bloody prison ship. John Reid, as Home Secretary, called for an annual cap on immigration to the UK and said politicians had to stop being politically correct about the issue. Now, how did we get from a position when the fucking Labour government was saying this to the situation we're in now? We've had a Tory government since 2010. I don't understand. I just don't understand how we went from this to what we've got now. Jerry Sutcliffe says, as prisons minister, tried to privatise probation and rehabilitation services was defeated by backbench rebels. Gordon Brown said immigrants should be obliged to do volunteering work for free to prove that they are integrating. Jackie Smith, as Home Secretary, introduced a law to make immigrants go through a period of probationary citizenship, during which time they would have to prove their worth. Why doesn't John Stone support all of this? I just don't understand, what is his personal objection to any of these things? I just don't get it. Bill Rammel, as Education Minister, scrapped free English lessons for immigrants, warning costs were unsustainable, while the government was repeatedly telling migrants they had to learn English. Yeah, but we don't have to fucking fund their lessons, do we? Tony Blair said the vast bulk of foreign prisoners should be deported, whatever the dangers to them in their home country. I mean, he's right. Get back. Liam Byrne, as Immigration Minister, said unaccompanied teenage refugees could be subjected to dental x-ray checks to prove their age. Yeah, that's sensible. That's sensible. That is absolutely something that should be done. Why wasn't it done? Who are the twats who stopped these things happening? David Blunkett, while Home Secretary, said ethnic minorities needed to adopt British norms of acceptability. David Blunkett slammed bleeding heart liberals who, he said, opposed every sentence, every tough new law, and every sensible measure he took as Home Secretary. That's because David Blunkett was based. Tony Blair announced plans to screen every child in Britain to determine the risk of whether they would grow up to be a criminal. Fucking hell. I mean, come on. And who opposed it? The Tories. Of course they did. Of course they fucking did. Tony gave his backing to an academy chain that wanted to take over 7 comprehensive schools and to turn them into Christian academies teaching young earth creationism. Between 2005 and 2009, 98% of all asylum seekers fleeing persecution because of their sexuality were refused refuge and extradited back to their home countries to face persecution. 98% were refused. 98%. Tony Blair, in 2004, promised a step change in the rate of deportation of asylum seekers to effectively double the number of removals. Jack Straw refused to extradite former Chilean dictator General Pinochet to stand trial on charges of torture and human rights abuses and let him go free despite pressure from Spain, Switzerland, Belgium and France. Jack Straw, while Home Secretary, characterised gypsies as people who think that it's perfectly okay to cause mayhem in an area, go burgling, thieving, breaking into vehicles, causing all kinds of other trouble, including defecating in doorways. Where's the lie? Where is the lie in what Jack Straw said? Jeff Hoon, as Defence Secretary, argued in favour of the use of now-banned cluster bombs by British forces in Iraq and said mothers of Iraqi children killed by them would one day thank the UK for using them. New Labour jailed over 1,000 children for breaching ASBO's orders, which criminalised antisocial behaviour that wasn't necessarily illegal as part of a wider crackdown on young people. Gordon Brown massively expanded the use of PFI, which ended up costing taxpayers £200 to £300 billion. David Miliband, as Foreign Secretary, went to court to try and cover up British spies' involvement in torture. Tony Blair rejected calls for a full inquiry into the Hillsborough disaster, asking, "What's the point?" Fucking hell. Jesus Christ. Oh, fucking hell. Oh, I may have to get my... I'm going to have to get my... let me just go and get some coke a minute. I shouldn't... Jesus. All right. Tony Blair personally intervened to exempt Formula One racing from a ban on tobacco advertising hours after meeting F1 boss Bernie Ecclestone, a major Labour donor. Peter Mandelson declared, "We are all Thatcherites now," in 2002, and warned that no government could run its economy by ignoring the realities of the market. Tony Blair increased the terror threat so dramatically by launching the Iraq War that MI5's budget had to be doubled. Charles Clarke, as Home Secretary, gave a speech attacking liberal parts of the media, including named journalists, as pernicious and even dangerous poison for criticising the government's various crackdowns on civil liberties. Based. Just based. I mean, can you imagine a Tory government even doing 10% of these things? Saying or doing any of these things that I've been reading out for the past hour. Tony Blair said it was a waste of time and energy taxing the very wealthy and refused to say a growing gap between the rich and poor was bad. David Blunkett pushed at the EU level for the bloc to withdraw aid from developing countries that did not curb immigration to Europe. Again, every single thing David Blunkett did was based. I'm not kidding. He was based. Patricia Hewitt, while Trade and Industry Secretary, granted export licenses to sell weapons to both India and Pakistan at the height of the Kashmir standoff. Alan Johnson, as Home Secretary, gave his backing to a device called the Mosquito, designed to disperse groups of young people by giving off... by giving off an uncomfortably high-pitched noise only they could hear in the context of a wider moral panic. Oh, man. Tony Blair wanted to keep some fox hunting legal but was forced into a full ban by gay Labour rebels. Tony Blair told private healthcare executives that he wanted to put the whole NHS out to tender for the private sector. Tony Blair repeatedly intervened to try and deport asylum seekers to Egypt, despite being told there was ample evidence they would be tortured or killed. Am I bothered? Get them out! Tony Blair intervened to help a Labour donor billionaire buy a Romanian state enterprise, telling the Romanian government that agreeing to the sale to a company registered in the Caribbean for tax purposes would help them join the EU. Stephen Bryars, as Transport Secretary, part privatised the Labour and the London Underground under a public-private partnership. The policy was a failure and had to be reversed by 2010. John Hutton, as DWP Secretary, moved to cut benefits for the long-term unemployed, who he said can work but won't, arguing it would force them back to work. John Hutton, as DWP secretary, came up with the employment support allowance to replace incapacity benefit, planning to save £7 billion a year by compelling many disabled people to take part in back-to-work schemes or lose their benefits. You see, the thing is, right, John Stone, basically, if somebody claims they're disabled, John Stone's like, yeah, that means they're disabled. Whereas the government, who actually have to think realistically about these things, are like, hold on, are you telling the truth about that? We're going to fucking test you. And if you're not disabled, you can get back to work. We're not going to give you money for free. Charles Clark, as Home Secretary, said immigrants are coming here who are a burden to society. Where's the lie? Everybody knows that's true. Jackie Smith, as Home Secretary, tried to build a database of innocent people's DNA, but had to destroy it after the European Court of Human Rights ruled it was illegal. Damn it. Tony Blair condemned the gravy train of legal aid for asylum seekers and restricted their access to it. David Blunkett, as Home Secretary, deliberately made it harder for people without travel documents to claim asylum. What a monster. Including with prison sentences for people judged to have destroyed their passports. David Blunkett, in 2003, introduced fees for immigrants to apply for indefinite leave to remain in the UK, which was provisionally free. The application fee was introduced at £155, and by 2010 had risen to £840. It has since risen to £2,389. Good. Gordon Brown, as Chancellor, accused critics of his PFI schemes of ideological dogma. Tony Blair branded people critical of increased private sector involvement in the NHS as wreckers. Liam Byrne, as Immigration Minister in 2007, said he wanted to create a hostile environment for undocumented migrants. And they did do that. I remember the hostile environment because I was around in 2007. As Home Secretary, David Blunkett dismissed the idea of institutional racism. David Blunkett slammed the BBC for a stunt after it ran an undercover investigation that showed a serving police officer saying he wanted to eradicate Asians from Britain and posing in a KKK hood. I'm telling you, David Blunkett. Tony Blair tried to put a maximum time limit on how long someone could claim disability benefits for. Tony Blair wanted to scrap the disability premium top-up on working age benefits, which would have cost £1 million for disabled people over £23 a week. Tony Blair, in 2003, the BBC accused Downing Street of using intimidation to try and force more sympathetic coverage of the Iraq war. Jack Straw weakened arms export rules to assist the sale of fighter jets to the Israeli military. Shortly after a 2002 offensive against Palestinians, which human rights groups said included war crimes. Mike O'Brien, as Immigration Minister, said abusive asylum seekers, who are actually economic migrants, should be blamed for public hostility to refugees. Mike O'Brien, as a minister, was accused of using an anti-Semitic dog whistle against two Jewish MPs. Gordon Brown unveiled a lie detector test for benefits claimants, which were no more effective in trials than flipping a coin. At least his heart was in the right place. John Dutton, as Work and Pension Secretary, unveiled plans to station DWP staff in NHS GP surgeries as part of a crackdown on doctors writing sick notes under the slogan, "Work is good for you." Carlisle just sat up somewhere up in heaven. Tony Blair launched the Prevent programme, which involved mass surveillance of Muslims not suspecting of committing any crime, and was judged by MPs to have backfired by alienating the Muslim community. Gordon Brown declared that the days of Britain having to apologise for its colonial history are over while on a visit to East Africa, and said the British Empire should in fact be celebrated. Can you imagine Rishi Sunak saying that? Because I don't think he does, you know. David Blunkett, as Education Secretary scrapped student maintenance grants and replaced them with loans. David Blunkett urged Tony Blair to bomb the... David Blunkett urged Tony Blair to bomb the Al Jazeera television station off the air during the invasion of Iraq, a breach of international law, arguing that the channel shouldn't be able to continue being able to propagandize against the attack. David Blunkett ordered the prison services to... Oh, fucking hell. Oh, my God. David Blunkett ordered the prison services to machine gun rioting prisoners and said he did not care about deaths. According to the then head of HM Prison Service, David Blunkett disputes the account and says he frankly told him to get on with the job. This is just amazing. This is just an amazing one. Machine gun rioting inmates is just fucking mental. Jackie Smith, as Home Secretary, justified drug criminalisation by telling an advisor you cannot compare the harms of an illegal activity with a legal one. John Reid, as Home Secretary, launched a crackdown on whistleblowers, proposing a bill to remove duress of circumstances as a defence for breaking the Official Secrets Act. Peter Mandelson resigned as business secretary after taking a secret £373,000 loan to buy a house. David Blunkett, as Home Secretary, oversaw a policy of unlawfully racially discriminating against Romani people travelling to the UK, according to the UK's highest court. Jack Straw, as Foreign Secretary, was responsible for GCHQ when it illegally spied on members of the UN Security Council as part of a campaign to encourage them to vote to approve the Iraq war. In the wake of the financial crisis, New Labour's record was condemned by the senior Church of England bishops for promoting greed and being morally corrupt. Alan Johnson, as Home Secretary, said investigating MI5 torture allegations could jeopardise national security and that he had nothing but admiration for the people accused. It was later established that the allegations were true. Tony Blair, in 2005, used a speech to attack suffocating overregulation of businesses and said the banking regulator specifically was seen as hugely inhibiting of efficient businesses. Tony Blair became the first sitting Prime Minister to be interviewed by police in the courts of a criminal inquiry after he gave peerages to several people who had secretly loaned large amounts of money to Labour. No charges were ever brought. Well, of course not. Tony Blair said workers didn't need strong trade unions because he would give them the best educational skills and opportunities and an employment service that is dynamic, arguing that this was one of the realities of the economic world. Tony Blair personally blocked the adoption of some recommendations of the McPherson Report on race relations, including on the dismissal of racist police officers, partly anticipating the reaction of right-wing newspapers. We have, and I think it ends there, but we have since learned that Tony Blair actually wanted to block the McPherson Report entirely. He hated the McPherson Report, and it basically happened despite his wishes, not because of it. So there we go, friends. That is a different side of New Labour, the one that is often forgotten. Now, there are lots of those things they did. Some of those things were just proposals that they weren't able to do. But you understand the basic gist of what I'm getting at here, which is that it is a mistake to... So many of those policies that I just outlined, many of which, in my opinion, are sensible and frankly based... If you read those stories, and there's links to every single one of them, Tories were opposing them on liberal grounds at every step of the way. Every step of the way, they were opposed by the Tories, who did nothing but weaken them since they did nothing but weaken those policies, in some cases drastically. Labour, under the crackdown on asylum, rejected 75% of all claims and deported way more people than, like, in a single year than the Tories have managed in the entire time they've been in. That's because when they say they're going to do something, they fucking mean it. Well, when the Tories say something, they're just throwing red meat to gammon. I honestly think in their heart of heart, I believe in his heart of hearts, David Blunkett believes all of those things that he said and was sincere about it. Whereas when likes of a Sunak minister or Johnson or any of the fucking Tories say it, they don't in their heart of hearts believe those things. They're just throwing red meat. And this is the real difference, in my view, between this lot and Tories. I really believe that for all of their other sins, these people were serious about these issues in a way that the Tories frankly aren't. The Tories have not, even if you say, oh, well, some of these things were defeated by the European Court of Human Rights, or they weren't able to do it because of Labour backbenchers or whatever. The fact they were even saying it and thinking about it. So anyway, let me have a look to see if there's been any super chats, and then we'll get out of here. This was the first part of the Summer of Tone. Hope you enjoyed it. Thomas the Fifth says, we need a new Things Could Only Get Better montage. Ben Davis says, Tony Blair, evil genius or useful idiot. The Enriab says, but New Labour did not do any of these things. They just said they would do them to trick voters, just like the Tories do. That's not true, though, is it? That's not true. They did do a lot of those things. They introduced the ASBOs. They did introduce the hostile environment. They did massively reduce asylum seeker claims. They did curb immigration while they were in. They did make it much more difficult to be a criminal. They did reduce benefits. A lot of those things were actual things they did. Some of those things were just kind of touted or were defeated or whatever, but a lot of those things they actually did. And there, if you go back to that thread that I was going through, there are links to articles all the way. The ones that really galled me were the things that they did that were then undone by the Tories. Things that were reversed. Stop and search. They brought that in, and that was weakened under the Tories. The detentions, 28 days, reduced down to 14 days. So, if you ask me, it's pretty clear that New Labour was serious about... It wasn't... See, the thing is that Blair has a view that if you say you're going to do something, you have to do it, right? And the only way to fix the problem is to not only be seen to find the solution to it, but to not just like talk tough, but actually do the stuff. And he did do a lot of... They did do a lot of it. And they were fought every step of the way. Every step of the way, they were fought by civil liberties groups, bleeding heart liberals, fucking left-wing Labour backbenchers, and Tories, who on libertarian grounds didn't want a lot of those things happening. My constitution or my English, you know, English common law or whatever. They'll find some bullshit to oppose it every step of the way. So anyway, Tragic Vision says return with a V. Well, thank you very much for that. And I don't know if Entropy's work. I did get a note from Entropy saying that Entropy is not work has not been working properly. So I don't know if at the moment I'm just seeing the same super chat hundreds of times. The white knight super chat from last week is just there over and over and over again, just like 100 times. So If anybody sent any super chats, Entropy, I can't see them, but maybe there weren't any. All right, well, if that's all it is for the super chats, I'll see you tomorrow night for Unpopular Opinions. We'll be talking about the Russia story, and we'll be talking about that's the main story, I think, the Russia story tomorrow night. So we'll talk about that. Patrick Casey was meant to be on tonight, but he's traveling after the US event and he was delayed traveling. So he said he couldn't, he's postponed till next week. He was due to be on to talk about several kind of post-liberal academics and things like Patrick Neen and Adrian Vermeule, and how they are basically quite sinister. This interests me because it's something the Bronze Age pervert has been talking about for many years. And Casey's done a bit of a deep dive on it. So we'll talk about that next week. The Summer of Tone will start in earnest at some point. I want to get my internet fixed properly before I do the 1997 election watch through. Pick up a course at the academic agency. But most importantly of all, ladies and gentlemen, get out.
What goes on in this town is none of your business.
As long as I'm living here, it is.
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!
Well, that's easily fixed.